Okay, go ahead.
A display of wildflowers with the names, and the whole class got to go over and see those. That was a good introduction to Mayflower, botany, and so on. William T. Skilling was the astronomer, and if it had been today, he would have been displaying the eclipse of the sun. There was one day in the middle of the day when Venus was bright and close, and in fact, you could actually look up and see it with the naked eye, but he put the telescope on it so that we could see Venus in the daytime. Mm-hmm. One other night, he had our class, those who could make it, come back and look through his 6-inch telescope at the moon and planets and whatever was visible. So that was a good introduction to astronomy.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice personal introduction for the kids. Did he have a nickname by any chance, Professor Skilling, that you know of?
I don't know of any.
I ask you that only because...
He was a very slim, athletic type. He rode rode a bicycle to school, as I remember it, to work. He's the one he retired and lived, 30, 40 years in retirement. He got his money's worth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He'd written books on astronomy. Came out to this camp. Well, he retired in 1938, I suppose, in June. I think Dr. Clifford Smith came in the fall of that year. That's when I took astronomy, just after Skilling retired.
So you were around him for a goodly number of years.
Yeah.
Did many of your other classmates that attended the training school also come out here to San Diego State College for their college education as well?
Yes. So after all, those that stayed in San Diego, a good percentage of them would come out here, sure. This was the place to go if you're going to do something after high school.
Any people in particular, any friends of yours that you recall?
Well, let's see, Burnham A. Squires, who was a near neighbor, had known from, well, we started Sunday school together way back in the primary class of Sunday school. She came out here, and she's a retired teacher now. Trying to think of people who were actually in the training school. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the sixth grade picture, class list.
Not a question I had put down on that piece of paper for you.
There were a number from a number from the neighborhood that we went more junior high school and high school, and some from Scouts. Many of them came out here. As far as I can't give you any name right now.
When you started in junior, let's see, you went to junior high school, Roosevelt Junior High. That was within walking distance too, so
yes,
I don't need to ask
there,
this question.
I did have to carry my violin case, but I didn't have to carry a lunch. I worked in the school in the cafeteria for my lunch, so I got a hot lunch.
Save
some money.
That's what I think every kid should have to do every now and then. And when you started out at San Diego High School, how did you get there?
By trolley.
You did take the trolley.
Mm-hmm. Came down at number 11, came in from Kensington on Adams Avenue, Adams to Park Boulevard, and then down Park Boulevard through the park by the front of the Naval Hospital and down to San Diego High. Went on some trestles to the east of President Park Boulevard. The little canyons there, off to the east of the zoo parking lot. And there was, at Roosevelt, there was a kind of a nice landing made, a wooden platform for the students to get off and on. at Roosevelt, and then good landing area there at Sandy Bahai.
Roosevelt has been around for quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I went to a woman's house on Monday to pick up some Del Sudoestes for the archives. She just happens to live down the street from me, so I didn't mind stopping off at her house after work to get them. She taught at Roosevelt. She was a math teacher from the 1930s to who knows when. Mm. She was there for quite a while.
My gosh.
Too bad. I don't think you overlapped in time period.
T. Malcolm, T. Malcolm Brown was the principal, I remember, and he was very active in education, right, through many years. John Azeltine was principal at San Diego High School when I was there. Our Roosevelt class was the Olympic class because that was the year that the Olympic Games were in Los Angeles. So we were the Olympic, our little five, we had the five ring emblems and whatnot that supported our ribbons for
really?
Seniors.
This is from senior high school.
That's junior. That was 1932. That's from Roosevelt.
From Roosevelt.
Yeah. I had 3 years of orchestra there at Roosevelt, playing the violin. I'm never particularly good at it, but I simply worked hard and tried to learn the things that we played in concert.
Did you stick with it?
Played second violin. I went 3 years at San Diego High, and then that's it.
How about any of your other extracurricular things or school activities? What else were you involved in junior high school and high school?
Well, scouts in the first part of junior, well, through junior high school, I suppose. I worked through scouts and Eagle, and was active, well, junior assistant scout master and that sort of thing. In high school, I was involved with ROTC. We had a good program there. There was the annual competition between Hoover ROTC and San Diego High ROTC and whatnot. You know, I worked my way up there to become major. I was a battalion commander. I had San Diego High School battalion anyhow. Yeah. And we, of course, the scouts and ROTC got involved with a lot of the parades, holidays. So started parading when I was in the Boy Scouts and finished in the ROTC.
You walked many miles.
A lot of parades, right.
Fourth of July.
That was always a challenge here because, San Diego High Band would be in front of us in the ROTC, and then invariably behind us would be the Marine Band. And they're playing a little different cadence, and we're supposed to stay in step with the San Diego High School Band, and yet they had that competition of the Marine Corps Band behind us.
Did you ever?
It was a challenge.
I guess there weren't any major disasters, though. You managed to somehow stay in step.
Well, I was out in front, so I didn't see. Well, I did. I'll take that back. I did earlier when I was in the ranks. Had the problem of trying to know which step we were supposed to be keeping. But that ROTC, we started out with the roll-up leggings left over from World War I, and then finally the last year, I guess, mm-hmm. we got into slacks.
My. Yeah. You had some older things.
It was a transition period, anyhow.
Yeah. No, let's move on to your time at San Diego State College. You were here from 1935 to 39, and you received your BA with a major in zoology.
Minors in botany and geology.
Mm-hmm. Honors in life science. Had you always planned to go on with a major in zoology, or did you have... other plans? Because I noticed you were interested in other things.
Not necessarily. I majored in math in high school, but I was always had this natural history inclination. I particularly after I started here, people, the faculty people that tend to be working with, like Dr. Harwood, Dr. Crouch, little Miss Harvey, Myrtle Johnson, Baylor Brooks in geology, we're all field-oriented. There were field trips involved, and they're all interested in interpreting nature. And then that got me started even taking the field trips at the Natural History Museum, the nature walks on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I would go on those. And any opportunity to go out and learn, get into the field and learn about the outdoors, I took advantage of.
So, and do you think it was the faculty members, and then yeah, the faculty members that opened up your eyes to the
problem? It probably goes back to even to my mother, who was very much was herself interested in the outdoors, and so she kept me aware of what was going on. When we'd be out, she would be identifying plants and so on, and she had that interest. Even in the scouts, when I was it for first class, where you take a 14-mile hike, she went on the 14-mile hike with me, and we went out from a place on Campus Avenue there out to the down in the Mission Valley, out to the Mission, and so on. Of course, that's where she had grown up, so it's kind of fun for her to walk over some of her old girlhood areas.
That's a question that I wanted to ask you before, and I thought, well, maybe I'll skip it. But now that you mentioned your mother and where she grew up, could you tell me something about her? We're really taking kind of a detour here.
I know.
She was born in San Diego,
she
obviously.
Was in 1895, right? And her family, she was born at the old St. Joseph's Hospital, which is about 8th and University now.
Mm-hmm.
And their home at that time was where the foot of Murphy Canyon, where the oil tank farm is now at the mouth of the canyon.
Yeah.
There were times when her dad was managing a watermelon patch where and he'd have to keep the coyotes scared off at night where the stadium is now, Jack Murphy San Diego Stadium is. And then they moved over to Grantville, and she grew up there until the lower part of their area got inundated with the 1917 flood. 1916.
I always thought it was 17.
16 flood. Yeah. I think it was
so
16.
She saw Mission Valley, of course, in its heyday of
right.
agriculture and dairy. Well, so did you. You saw it mm-hmm. long before the freeway ever went through.
Right.
Before big development ever started. Okay, back at San Diego State College, though. Did you work during your college years? Did you work during your high school years?
Yeah, starting as a senior in high school, I worked at the post office at Christmas time. Back then, we had to take an exam. We had to throw with 96% accuracy all of the streets of San Diego to their correct postal area, post office. Of course, there are many fewer streets and fewer post offices,
yeah.
So it wasn't so bad. But we did have to go and take an exam in order to be able to work, because they had a lot of applications. It was during Depression times, and it was a nice job to have.
Did you also deliver the mail?
Yes.
I think I saw something in there.
I delivered mail. I did it out of North Park. Office, but at Christmas time with the rush.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, back in those early days, there was a morning delivery and an afternoon delivery, and one Saturday morning. I forget, maybe it was even, I don't think we ever had twice on Saturday, but we used to get home delivery morning and afternoon.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hope that you get a lot of mail if you get twice a day delivery.
My senior year in high school, I started working at a poultry market down at 12th, and it was on 12th Street, just north of Market, Cameron's Poultry Market, where we had, we dressed out, everything was fresh, chickens, turkeys, rabbits, fish. I'd go in at 7 o'clock in the morning, a little before, work until 9, 9:15 at night for $3, We'd get in there in the morning and have to start dress chickens up and then make deliveries to the Pullman cafeteria and others around in the city. Then come back, work sometime behind the counter in front, go back and dress chickens, and then at the end of the day, clean out cages and whatnot.
Sounds lovely.
And at lunchtime, boss would say, "Well, I'm kind of busy, or we're kind of busy today. See if you can get back in 20 minutes." Same thing at night.
Worked too hard.
Yeah, he was a good Scotchman.
Well, that's interesting.
But he said, you know, he'd say, "Well, can I earn a little bit more?" And he said, "Well, if you don't want to do it, there are plenty more who will." $3 a day for 12, what was it, 7 to 9, 14 hours.
He's a regular slave driver.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But then that was, it was something to do that at that time.
Yeah.
Then after graduation from high school, my summers I'd spent as a in the city schools maintenance shops. I was a steam fitter, plumber, sheet metal workers, helper, or laborer. Kind of found myself digging ditches, threading pipe by hand, you know, the old days. And then in the summertime, the boilers, boiler room for, of course, not needed for heating, and that's when all the maintenance work was done on them. So I'd get inside to the boiler fireboxes and clean them out and re-brick them, do whatever was necessary to get them ready for the next winter. So I was black with soot the end of many, many, many days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was hard work, but it was money, and it got me through until post office work at Christmas time, which got me through until summer again. Go to work.
It's a good experience for you. Oh. Work is good for a person, huh?
I work.
How about your jobs in college? Did you hold any jobs down during your college years?
Not, no.
Not to the same extent.
I went to Berkeley. When I went to Berkeley, in the first year of graduate school, there I was worked at, well, NYA, which is the government-assisted work.
I was going to ask you, what
that
does NYA stand for?
That was good, though. I was
for?
A museum specialist there at the Museum of Vertebrate Zoologists, and got 55 cents an hour. That was great.
What does NYA stand for?
National Youth Authority.
Oh, of course. Okay. I've heard that before. Came across it.
That was a big help.
Well, also, let's see, when you were a student at San Diego State College, you were a reader and student assistant for Dr.
Right.
Harwood.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Dr. Harwood. I mean, was he okay to work for?
Oh, he's wonderful. he's one who had no children, but he was great for, great to all the students. Even now, when I go out and meet students from the past, particularly those who've got into medicine, the doctors, they say, "Well, how's Dr. Harwood?" Yeah.
Very well respected.
Oh, very definitely.
Well liked.
Yeah, in fact, our older son is Robert, named for him. Oh, yeah. He and his wife were wonderful, wonderful people.
Wow.
Yes. And he was zoology chairman, and then, of course, eventually the chairman of the life sciences division.
Working in the archives,
mm-hmm.
I've come across his name many
yes.
times.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to be able to kind of picture the person or
yeah.
some kind of association
well,
on the name.
I show you a lot of pictures from down in Mexico
mm-hmm.
and camping with him. And, well, and it was great to work for. I was, as I say, his reader and student assistant, and it was very easy to work with. No problem.
How about some of the other faculty members at that time? Who were some of your favorite
of course,
ones, and who were some of your least favorite ones?
Well, of course, Dr. Harwood first, Dr. Crouch, who was still coming to campus.
Uh-huh.
I had more ornithology and comparative anatomy and physiology from him. And Dr. Harwood, I had general zoology and genetics. And let's see, Dr. Myrtle Johnson, who was the chairman of the biology department at that time, took embryology and marine invertebrates from her. Dorothy Harvey for the botany. And then to get geology from Baylor Brooks, who was a great charisma, just again a very inspiring
still very
professor.
Charismatic.
And with, well, in both areas, in biological sciences, we had Phi Sigma Xi, which was an honor society. You had to do a research project, write it up, and give an oral presentation, a meeting to for membership. I was active in that, ended up as president one time. And then in geology, we had Delvers, which was a group of, I think they limited to 12 geology students. Didn't have to be geology. Well, couldn't major in geology, could minor in geology. And I was in, also a Delver.
Mm-hmm. And you were also in Alpha Phi Omega.
Alpha Phi Omega, right.
That you were president in your senior year. At least your senior
I'm
year.
Sure.
No, I didn't check to see if you were
president
before then.
I don't know. Sometime or another, I'm sure I was.
What is this about the Signal Tarzan Club?
I don't know.
I came across that in there.
Yeah, I really don't know. trying to think. The one I think about is the old Lions Pie Eaters Club. The Lions clothing, men's clothing store was down, what, 5th and E in those days, before it went up to Broadway, for youngsters. On their birthday, you'd get a little, one of these little 6-inch pies, an apple pie or maybe berry pie. You go down to the store and get that on your birthday as a member of the Pie Eaters Club. I forget what other benefits came from it. But
well, that's neat.
The Tarzan, I don't know.
Well, it does.
The Signal Club, I don't know.
And then there was something else here, the Fisher Body Craftsman's Guild. Maybe that has something to do with a work permit for yourself, because I noticed you had to have a Cameron's. To work at Cameron's Poultry, you had a food handler's permit. Maybe
uh-huh.
It's something along the same lines. It wasn't necessarily
fish.
Fisher Body Craftsman's Guild. Well, I don't think I marked it in here.
What was in that? There was was that the stagecoach type thing? There was where you make a model stagecoach. Could well be maybe. That might be.
That's not what I was.
Fisher.
Looking for.
Because Fisher body, Fisher automobile bodies and the stagecoach bodies, seems like there's a tie-in there. Too far back.
Yeah, maybe if you think about it a little bit, I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
This is just
there
a group picture of Phi Sigma.
Yeah. Now here's Harwood.
That's Harwood. There's Crouch down there, and
right. Here's Myrtle Johnson. This is Margaret Harvey, Dorothy Harvey, botanist daughter.
This
is Marvin
was.
Darcy. He was he actually did some teaching about this time in the biological sciences. Gordon Hayworth, we were roommates at Berkeley. Ruth Giuselli, her brother Bill, let's see, she's long dead of cancer. There's this George, come to me in a moment. He became director of the Natural History Museum in Balboa, George Lindsay, Lindsay. Was director of the Natural History Museum in Balboa Park, and then became the director of the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco.
Right.
This fellow was in the county entomologist. He's still a great collector of butterflies. Jim Duell here, I used to hitch the transportation out here to the campus was by the bus. There was a bus that started from Park Boulevard University and came out to the campus maybe once in the morning, and there was one going back at night that went all the way through. And then the rest of the day, it went back and forth on College Avenue out to El Cajon Boulevard, and we'd take the kids, I'd catch the bus at Park Boulevard and El Cajon and come out to College Avenue and then get on the college bus. But sometimes I'd hitch a ride with him on the back of his motorcycle and ride to the campus. Emory Johnson, he was very, he was probably one of the officers in this, became an MD. There's a, he was an osteopathic physician and surgeon. For him, me.
That's you.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't.
Well, this is the year before you graduated, too. I think it is. Let's see. This is 38, and there's 39.
That's
probably the same, pretty much the same group of people.
Yeah.
Are going to be in there.
Delvers was in here or not.
You know,
I
couldn't find Delvers. I looked through both, I looked through these 2 year books, and I couldn't find it for some reason. Yeah, this is pretty much the same. Looks like it's pretty much the same group of people. And there's, of course, your class picture is in here, too.
Yeah, these two these are brothers. There's a Couvrette, a good San Diego name.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gordon Hayworth and this fellow Dick Neal, and I had shared an apartment at Berkeley. Now here's, Margaret Harvey and her mother Dorothy here.
Margaret Harvey, now, did she teach out here as well as Dorothy Harvey teaching?
She went into library work. She got, I think she went to Pomona or Claremont Colleges and got a master's degree. And she didn't pursue work in the biological sciences.
But she's in the picture because her mother's there.
Well, of course, she was a botany, she'd major in, probably.
One of the natural sciences.
I don't think we could major in botany, so she probably majored in zoology and minored in botany like I did. Genevieve Rainwater was a teacher at Hoover High School through the years. Here's Dr. Harwood again. Carl Langler went on, he's an MD, an ophthalmologist. Godfather for one of our sons. Still a good friend. He's retired from his ophthalmological practice. He was out in Rancho Bernardo. He taught as an instructor course in mammalogy that I took in that year, along with many of us were students in that class. Here I am again. John Fitch became chief of marine fisheries for the state of California. Died about 5-6 years ago.
Sounds like quite a successful group of people here.
Well,
wait, let's put that back in just a second.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Let's see it. Well, what picture? Livingston was the math instructor, and he lived up on the next corner from us. He lived at Campus and Monroe Avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard Cooper here, we were in the Scouts together, and he was ended up in the florist business out on El Cajon Boulevard. They had the Kennard's Florist. We went through
scouting together. Here he is, Howard Cooper. There's this Gordon Hayworth again, my roommate at. There's Emory Johnson. He's in one of our pictures, Phi Sigma Zeta too. A number were in
many groups.
Multiple,
physics club.